cure yourself. So, and that contagion is not permanent. There's a way to undo it. There's a ritual. You have to go to the priest, and then you have to do a series of ritual baths, and depending on the kind of impurity, it can be one time or over a period of time. But you go through all of that, and you're pure again. Why does it matter? Because if you are ritually impure, not only can't you touch or talk to anybody who's clean, you can't go into the temple. You can't do your prayers. You can't do your sacrifices. You are excluded from your community in a lot of really important ways. And in fact, if you have some kind of permanent impurity, relatively permanent impurity, like leprosy, for instance, you are required, if you are in town where other people are, where other Jewish people are, to continually shout, unclean, unclean, so that people who are clean won't accidentally come near to you and touch you. It's really, really isolating. All right. Another thing that's really isolating that we need to talk about here is just what is a Samaritan? We're told that one of these 10 men is a Samaritan. We have three Samaritan stories in Scripture that we know about. Well, one, of course, is the story of the Good Samaritan. That is a parable where Jesus tells the story of a man who is lying in a ditch, beaten to a pulp, and this Samaritan, the one outside of his community, is the only one who will help him. Then there's the woman at the well, who we're told is a Samaritan, but who Jesus has a conversation with, even though she's way outside the bounds of his purity boundaries of his community. And then we have this story of the 10 men. So Samaritans are people who live in Samaria. Where is Samaria? Well, these days we call it the West Bank. Okay, these are people who live in the West Bank. We heard the story in our first reading today of Jeremiah is telling the Israelites who have been taken captive and carried off to Babylon and are living there in exile and slavery, telling them, don't escape. God sent you here, and God wants you to plant yourselves here, build houses, get married, have children, and wait until the time it is that it is appointed for you to come home. But when the Babylonians came into Israel, they destroyed the temple, and they sacked Jerusalem, and they took everybody back to Babylon. They didn't actually take everybody. They left behind the people who were too old or too infirm or too young to travel. Some of the people from Jerusalem who escaped the sacking of Jerusalem headed for the hills. So there was a remnant, and they were living in Samaria, in the hills of the area we now call the West Bank. And they took with them their holy books, not the Ark from the temple that got lost, but you know, copies of the Torah. And in fact, Samaritan means keepers of the Torah. And so here's this small remnant who's living in the hills. And the Babylonians also left behind Babylonians to occupy, take over the new land. And over time, the Sumerians actually intermarried with some of those Babylonians, but they kept their traditions. And they built an altar on the slopes of Mount Gerizim where they could do their ritual sacrifices. And they read their readings and they did their rituals and they tried to be good Jews as best as they could under the circumstances. Well, a funny thing happened when the rest of the Israelites finally came home, which is that they met up with this remnant who had stayed behind, and basically their reaction was, you're doing it wrong. You're misunderstanding the Scripture, and you cannot do sacrifices on Mount Gerizim. You have to do sacrifices on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and now we're back to set things right, so you need to join with us. And the Samaritan said, no, you're the ones who got it wrong. You've been off in Babylon. Most of you don't even speak Hebrew anymore. We're the ones who have it right. And that conflict was very heated, and it came to be that the returning Israelites decided that the Samaritans were in fact unclean, that they were not following the law, and all of those purity strictures against the unclean applied to the Samaritans. You couldn't talk to them, you couldn't touch them, you couldn't do business with them except through an intermediary. And that's the way things stood in Jesus' day. It's will probably interest you to know that there are still Samaritans still living in the West Bank who still follow those Samaritan Torah practices. They're not as much of an anathema to the Jerusalem Jewish community as they used to be. But still, if you're a Samaritan and you decide to convert to what they call Hebraic Judaism, you have to go through a cleansing ritual. You have to do a ritual bath before you can become a Hebraic Jew. That's true today, just like it was back then. And the other way that this story influences us today is it is probably true that because of the heat of the battle between the Samaritans and the returning Jews about the right ways to practice Judaism, the Jews became much more cemented in their conviction that worship on the Temple Mount was the only place to worship, which of course is a deep thread of all of the conflict and tension in Jerusalem even to today. You know, they had wandered around and done their sacrifices for 40 years in the desert, but now wandering was no longer a possibility. Anyway, so there's the Samaritans, and Jesus meets these 10 men in a strange place. It says it's on the border between Galilee and Samaria. And it says Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. That's like way out of the way between Samaria and Jerusalem. So between Samaria, between where he was and Galilee. I'm garbling my words here. Sorry about that. Between where Jesus is coming from and Jerusalem, it's way out of his way to go to that border. But it makes sense that these men are living on the border because they are outcasts from both communities. The Samaritans, just like the Jews, think that lepers are impure. And so they're living kind of on the fringes there. And they're living together, which is fine because the Jews are not going to be any more outcast for hanging out with the Samaritan than they already are for having leprosy. So Jesus heals them. Jesus restores their skin to its just one color, natural state, and he tells them, go to the priests, show that you're clean, and then the implication is do the ritual bath, and then you will be restored to your community. You'll be able to worship again. You'll be able to do business again. You'll be able to live in a home with your family again. So 9 of them go off to do that. The Samaritan couldn't do that. If he showed himself to the priests at the temple, they'd say, well, you may be clean, but you can't come in here. You're a Samaritan. He's just as unclean as he was before in the eyes of the Jewish community. So what does he do? He just turns around on the spot and he gives thanks to God and thanks to Jesus for making him clean again. So, as it turns out, while Jesus praises him, he's actually the only one of them who doesn't do what Jesus tells him to do. But he does what he can. So this is not a story about Jewish people getting it wrong and the outsider getting it right, which is, on first glance, what it seems like. Actually, all of the Samaritan stories in Scripture seem like that at first, and none of them are about that. This is a story about how the rules and the rituals of Hebrew Scripture have been and continue to be the way that Jewish people can be faithful to God. But Jesus is offering a path of faithfulness to God and to salvation to everyone, to people outside of that community. When Jesus says in another place, I come to abolish the law, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, this story is perhaps the perfect illustration of that. And when Jesus tells the Samaritan that his faith has made him whole, it says well in our translation, but whole is really a better translation of the Greek word there. He's not talking about his faith curing his leprosy. Jesus cured his leprosy. It's not about being cured at all. It's about being in right relationship with God. And that is made visible by the Samaritan man's response to his cure, thankfulness and praise. So Jesus is both talking about and demonstrating God's love and grace that is not contained by any theology or history or ritual. No matter who we may think is outside of the reach of God's love, even if we think that about ourselves, Jesus shows us that God thinks otherwise. Amen.